Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, amazing, glorious, still closeted, sorry, co-host Amanda.
Hey, Monica, how's it going?
All somewhat good in the hood. How's it going with you?
Good. I'm sitting in the closet like you referenced in sunny, sunny Florida. That's how it's going.
That's how it's going. I'm still a bit jealous of that you are in Florida. At least, I mean, I'm not a particular fan of the heat, but now that it's cold and I'm sitting here in my blanket, I'm like, yeah, maybe some spring temperatures would be fine.
Well, yeah. Spring temperatures are nice. Like, they're really good, though it is getting, like, hot in the afternoons here, like, over 30 degrees.
Okay.
So it's, like, hotter than spring. But the mornings are nice. We go for a walk every morning, and the weather is nice, and I think we said hello to, like, 10, 15, 20,000 people this morning, because everybody went past me, like, good morning, hello, bonjour, good morning, hello, bonjour. It's just like, whew.
They're all so friendly.
Everybody was super friendly this morning. Like, this, we went a different way. Instead of turning right out of the door, we turned left. And, ooh, like, I don't know, just going that way just seemed to have all the friendly people. We also witnessed a duck fight or a goose fight. Well, not a fight, but, like, there were two geese sitting on top of a roof, just yelling at everybody as they walked past. And it was amazing.
That's what you mean, the real-life Untitled Goose Game is what you've experienced today.
Pretty much. There was also a goose causing a traffic jam because it was sitting in the middle of the road and, like, the cars couldn't pass it.
Literally, that's where they got the game idea from. I have to Google it afterwards to figure out if they came from Florida. Maybe. I guess so. I've never had any emotion towards geese. I'm terrified of swans because I know they're lethal.
They're evil.
Yeah. And they're super dangerous because they can actually hurt you really bad.
Mm-hmm. No, these geese, they're, like, friendly, but they're just big and angry and loud. And yeah, they're great.
I feel, like, totally a connection from your storytelling right now to these geese.
I'll try to take some pictures of the geese for us.
Of the angry geese.
Maybe they'll be on the roof again tomorrow morning. Be like, with my smashed phone, screened phone.
Oh, man. You didn't have the greatest tech day yesterday.
Yesterday was a bad tech day. I was like, everything that could have gone wrong almost went wrong.
Mercury fucking retrograde.
But we're out of retrograde.
Oh, we're out of it already?
Yeah, we're out of it. It ended on Friday or something.
Okay. So. Glad it ended.
Yeah, me too.
I was just thinking the other day, and then I forgot to ask, but now I can. Did you play Legend of Zelda on your flight over?
No, I watched 3 movies and dozed a little bit and ate food that was really bad. And
you ate food that was really bad?
Yeah, the meal that they provided on the flight was rubbish.
Aww.
It was overcooked pasta with an undersalted roasted vegetable sauce, and the sauce had, like, 4 pieces of roasted vegetable. Aww. And a little side salad and a little fruit salad. And then when you got your snack later on, I got a little side salad and a little fruit salad. I was like, seriously? Everybody else is tucking into calzones and I've got a fucking salad?
Is it this gross can kind of fruit salad?
No, it was fresh, which was probably even worse because it had been sitting for ages.
Yeah. Probably, but I'm really not a fan of this canned fruit salad situation.
I would be a little partial to, like, a fruit cocktail salad.
Ooh, no.
Ooh, yum.
No, whenever
when you get the cherries in them. Oh, the cherries in the fruit.
The grossest shit ever.
They're so good.
But like the artificial red ones, you mean?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yum.
Ooh. Whenever Weirdo comes with a can because he did recently, I'm like, yeah, the grossest of the gross.
I really want that. Yeah, I want. I have to go and see if we have any in the closet.
I mean, you're sitting in it.
Not this closet. Oh, yeah. The closet covered. Because there is no salad in here. There is a lot of paint and cleaning products and a lot of toilet paper. But unfortunately, there is no fruit salad.
Damn it.
And Bacardi, actually. I could have a real good party in here.
I mean, you have the toilet paper as well, so
yeah,
that's taken care of.
And a bucket.
Perfect.
I could live in here so long as all I wanted to do was get drunk and not eat anything.
Amazing.
What are we talking about today?
Today is Geek Girl in the news again. Woo-woo. All the artificial jingles that we have and not use and try, but kind of don't. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yes, another new month. Damn it.
It's the last month of the year.
Can you believe it?
No, it's not. It's not, actually. We're recording November's news.
Yeah, but it's like the last Geek Girl in the news episode.
Of the year. Yeah, true. Because there won't be a December recap.
I can't. Ooh, that's true. And I can't even comprehend that we're already in December. How the fuck did that even happen?
I don't know. I don't get it. Where is the life gone? The life, the time. Where is ages?
Where is the life gone? Where is the time? Where is ages? I think that would be an amazing quote image for our Instagram grid.
Do it.
Yeah, I'm asking myself the same questions. Oh. Where is life? Where is the time? Ages. I have really no fucking clue. I'm a bit terrified. I think I'm starting to get into an interesting midlife crisis situation, but I'm still fine, I guess.
Okay.
It's just because I feel the human decay in the last couple of weeks a bit hard, hitting me hard. So that's why I'm like, well, maybe aging is not that unproblematic as I thought it would be. But yeah.
Yeah, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
You will get there eventually, I promise you that.
I will be young and...
But also, it doesn't matter what age you're in, you already have the weirdest shit health-wise going on anyway.
Oh man, I know.
If that ramps up...
Maybe it'll get better as I get older. Maybe it'll be the Benjamin Button of weird health problems.
But imagine that imagine that ramping up the older you get. Like, that would be... I can't even... You would be a perfect example for Dr. House if he were real.
I would, yeah. You're not the first person to say that to me.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's dive into the first article, shall we?
Let's shall. I don't know. So HBO, it has axed its first prequel that it has been talking and building and recording, and they even recorded a pilot earlier this year, starring Naomi Watts. It's been going for 3 years already behind the scenes, and they're just like, nah.
What? And it's been going for 3 years?
Like, it's been in the works for 3 years. Like, it's been talked about. They've hired a cast. They've recorded a pilot. And it's been, like, being written for 3 years. And now they're just like, nah. According to The Sun, it's too woke.
But The Sun, we don't know what The Sun...
The Sun's a wee bit shit, but...
Why does The Sun claim it's too woke?
It was something about there being, like, lesbian characters and, I can't remember what else it said because we're not using the Sun article because Sun is fake news. But yeah, it was just like too progressive and too much of a change from
the original storyline.
So it was quote unquote too woke.
Whatever. Well, okay. Whatever The Sun says. But in general, the important news is that it's cancelled. It's
been cancelled. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a prequel. We are getting House of the Dragon, which is about the Targaryen family.
I imagine that to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on one of George R. R. Martin's books. He's got the prequel out for that, doesn't he? Of Fire and Blood or something.
I'm not versed with the books, to be honest.
I haven't read it, but I know that it exists. So it's, yeah.
Imagine all that money that just disappears because they try to create a show and then they decide to not run the show.
I know. It was starring Naomi Watts, Miranda Richardson, and Josh Whitehouse. So I'm not actually sure who Naomi Watts is, but Miranda
Richardson. I know her name.
I know her name, but I'm not sure who she is. But Miranda Richardson, isn't she the one that plays Eowyn in Lord of the Rings?
Hang on. Miranda Richardson?
Oh, she was Rita Skeeter. Sorry, I knew her name.
Ah!
I was like, she's in something that I love.
She's in something that I love. Josh Whitehouse, I just need to face.
Oh, he... this is funny. I actually watched a film with him in it the other night. He was in a new Christmas movie for Netflix called A Night for Christmas.
I saw that on my Netflix to watch list.
I'm just going to give you some advice.
Don't watch it.
Don't. It was like, I like a bad Christmas movie. I am all for it. Like, you know my love of Hallmark movies. This was bad. This was like, really? It stars Vanessa Hudgens as well. Like, you know, she...
I didn't even recognize her when I saw that.
I didn't recognize her. It was only when she came up as a producer in it, and I was like, really? And I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, Mom chose it, and we watched it, and even Mom was like, that was bad. But it was so bad, you wanted to keep watching. And I was like, it was really bad. So
interesting. Yeah. I mean, and the other movies that he made don't seem to be very... Poldark, Valley Girl, Modern Life is Rubbish, The Receptionist, Alley Cats in Northern Soul. I've never heard from one of them.
Yeah, I've heard of Poldark. I think it's a British show. But he seems to be quite typecast as like a person who will play knights or somewhere in medieval times. So I was not surprised at all to see that he had been he was in this HBO show that's been axed. I was just like, oh, doesn't surprise
me. Okay, interesting.
But yeah, so that's a shame because the show that got axed was actually like a prequel even before The House of the Dragon. So it was like from the time of the true origin of the White Walkers, the mysteries of the East,
ooh, and
the Starks of Legend. So it's like, I personally think that would be a really interesting story, whereas like the Targaryens is kind of like, okay, it's just more of what we've got, like...
But that one would have been more like the story of how the Night King became the White King and how the White Walkers came to be. That would have been really cool.
Yeah. Well, it says it was focusing on the first battle between man and the first White Walkers. And then, like, where they came from, the Starks, and all the mysteries out east. Like, I don't know. That, to me, is a way more interesting story than, like, the Targaryens. Because I just feel like... having just being about the Targaryen history, like, it's just going to be more of Game of Thrones. Like, it's going to be pretty much exactly what we've got, just with a different set of casts or a different set of characters.
And I mean, like, a lot of the Targaryen story we also already kind of know.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, probably watch a Targaryen one because, you know,
yeah,
because I will.
Yep.
But if I had to choose between the two, I totally would choose like the earlier history.
Yeah, because from that you really don't know, and you want to kind of figure out how the Night King even became to be and how that even all started out and stuff.
Yep. I mean, I think that they've got a lot of different history to go over, like all out the east and around Meereen and like that side of the world, and even Dorne. Like, I'd be super interested to learn more about Dorne because it's like this incredible desert place that just you don't actually know that much about.
Yeah.
But the Targaryens, I just feel like it's...
Yeah, you're right.
A bit meh. Like, okay, yeah, prominent family, blah, 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 blah. They ruled for generations, blah, blah, blah. They had dragons, blah, blah, blah.
And they were nuts.
Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, we know the story.
Yeah.
We know what happened. Like, give us something that we don't know.
That is true. So, yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I see what you say there, and I have to agree with you. But yeah, that's over.
It is over.
But also, did you know, by the way, that apparently Emilia Clarke was a recast?
No, I didn't.
There were so many who... They shot the pilot with a few other actors, one of them not being Emilia Clarke, And then HBO saw the pilot and saw, nope, shit. And then they had to recast and reshoot a few things. And in the only Emilia Clarke got to be Khaleesi only in the recast of it.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad that happened because she's amazing.
Same. But see, that's why I guess it makes sense to shoot pilots in general. But it's just interesting that one can just exchange. I mean, one can mess up with the casting so hard, or not even mess up, but one that the casting is not the final thing. That was really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So in the end, if it still doesn't work, it's like, well, whatever, you're gone, you go.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you got to impress the showrunners and the producers and everything. Yeah. Speaking of showrunners, how crazy that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who were the showrunners for Game of Thrones, and they like rushed through, made the super shit last season and everything because they were going to the Star Wars trilogy, and it got axed. they left the project, which I'm like, why are you leaving the project that you fucked up the last season of Game of Thrones to do? Like, what is wrong with you?
Why did they leave?
I don't know why they left, but I'm just like,
assholes. Oh,
assholes. Agreed. So that was just annoying.
Who knows? But nice move, because even they are gone from the movie. We get a new Star Wars movie in 2022.
But we don't know who's making it or what it's about or anything. But apparently it's a whole new trilogy coming out.
I wonder how long one can milk that cow, to be honest.
I really don't know.
I mean, I can even kind of get on board with a series because there was no series. And then it's not really Star Wars, but it's like in the same
world.
World. I thought of some bigger word, but couldn't think of it. So that's why I'm thinking, the series makes sense. But like, it was never meant to be something, or initially, I don't think it was ever to be something like all the Marvel movies and the Marvel universes. So now it just feels like this is a money-making machine and we're going to milk it until we die.
I don't know. There are loads of books, right? So there are actually loads of stories to tell. But I feel like it's strange to have a new trilogy coming out so soon after this one. Like, it makes sense. You had one in the 80s, right? Or 70s and 80s. And then you had one at the end of the 90s into the 2000s. And now you've got one like maybe 10, 15 years later. And now just as this one ends, we're getting a new one coming out like in 2022. I feel like there's not enough time has passed in order like to bring out a new trilogy.
Yeah.
Especially because like when they were doing those in between films, like the Rogue One and Han Solo, and like Rogue One, was amazing. Like, have you seen it? It's so good. Oh my gosh. It's probably my favorite Star Wars, like out of all of them.
Really?
It's so good. And Solo was really, really good, but it didn't get a great reception. So they axed those like little side films, which was stupid because they're so good. And now they're doing another trilogy. So I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I think Solo was axed, or Solo didn't do well because what was the last one called? The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. It didn't do great because like there was a lot of story issues. Again, I feel always like I'm in the minority with this, but I actually quite enjoyed it. But I'm not huge like story.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a story nerd, so not about this. Like I don't know everything about the story, so I can't judge its accuracy or whatever. But apparently it's because of that Solo kind of flopped because they were like, oh well, I'm not gonna go watch it because it was shit. But it was good, and I don't know. Do more of those. I don't know. Do more like one-offs, less trilogies. Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
Yeah, I think it makes sense somehow. I mean, I'm thinking sometimes that diving deeper story-wise into characters you already love, for example, like you people do with Han Solo, sometimes might make more sense than recreating another super evil that we're going to fight against, that we're going to win against anyway, with late lightsabers and some cute Jedis and Yodas.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that if you give more insight into the various characters, then it will also make your story, the way you view the entire storyline in general, greater. Like when you know how Han Solo came to be, or Han Solo, or however you pronounce him, then it will also shed light on old movies still, and can broaden your experience of the entire universe without broadening the entire universe again. So I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I will, because I am hello pop culture consumer, I will go and see this. But at this point in life, and in based on the news that we have, I'm just kind of like, but why?
Yeah, I now decided I'm probably not going to watch the Star Wars movie. I'm going to wait until Disney Plus arrives at my door, hopefully soon. Hopefully at least with Germany at the same time. Otherwise, I'd be really annoyed. So, and then I'm going to binge all the Star Wars movies, and then we will see.
Okay.
Well,
Tom and I will be going to see The Rise of the Skywalker here when it comes out.
When is it going to come out?
It's December or something.
Oh, so soonish already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They ruined it for me, Disney Plus. They ruined my plans.
Damn, Disney Plus.
I don't know. Not that I would probably not get away on how I find these things, but...
Yeah. Apparently, it's coming out December 20th.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
Next week, by the time... Oh, no, 2 weeks from when this episode comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
So let's hope, let's see what will happen then. Even if they don't, I mean, 2022, when they don't know who's making the movie yet, this is a bit a short time frame, isn't it?
I think it's ambitious.
So we will see. Maybe it won't even happen, but they at least drop the info in a conversation or in an interview.
Yeah. So what do you think about Sacha Baron Cohen?
As a comedian, he was absolutely not my cup of tea. I think I did watch Borat. I didn't watch Bruno, even though I should have, because he's an Austrian. And I just, what is he also? Ali G?
Oh, Ali G, yeah.
So all these, they were really not my, not my up my alley. But I really like him now.
Yeah, I think I've always liked him as a person. But like you say, his humor wasn't necessarily my kind of humor. Borat is, I mean, it's not super funny, ha ha ha, I wasn't rolling in the streets or anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was all right. And I never super liked him as Ali G, and I only saw half of Bruno. But yes, as a person, I think he's pretty good. I'm really enjoying all the celebrities these days who are getting super vocal about their political agendas and views and speaking out against all the wrongs in the world.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think they see that it's time, and that's why to do it. And as we mentioned in one of the previous episodes or something, it's important. It's culture building movies. So that's why the actors as well start to notice that even more. And I've watched a lot of Red Table Talk, and even Will Smith said that the entire appearance of actors and actresses, or how the world perceived them, changed as well. So back in the days, they were mostly it was the mystery that they had to keep up, right? So because people wouldn't want to go to the movies and watch them if they knew who they really were, that's why they had to keep who they were kind of as a something that's not known and it's mysterious and blah, blah, blah. Whereas that shifted into people will go and watch your movies if the better they know you, or the better they feel they know you. And that's something that changed. And I think that's also the reason why more and more just step up and step out and talk about shit.
Yeah, so Sacha Baron Cohen's latest speech was at an Anti-Defamation League summit on anti-Semitism and hate. And he took down Facebook's CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, for 24 minutes.
I watched parts of this speech. It's just amazing. Basically, what he's criticizing is that, I don't know if you've listeners noticed or have come across this, is that Facebook basically, even though they would be able to tell if a political post especially are lies, they would not delete basically fake news or vicious lying posts because Zuckerberg thinks that is against freedom of speech. And that's why Sacha Baron Cohen basically tore him apart, really.
Yeah, I think Facebook has a responsibility to monitor the posts like about fake news that are going up. Facebook is where 90% of people are getting their news these days. Things that are shared. And if all this misinformation is being spread, then...
Oh, it's even in the article, it even says it's not even just posts, it's actually ads as well. So basically, Facebook lets political parties pay them money for them to then spread untruths, which I find even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it's not just posts, they're shooting out. It's actually something that they put money behind. And then that's apparently now the sole reason why he does it. Because how is that even relevant? Basically, what Sacha Baron Cohen was talking about in the speech is that how Hitler would have used it back in the days. So that would have been his number one machine, how to reach people and spread his information about anti-Semitism and shit.
I agree with everything that Sacha Baron Cohen has said. And he wrapped up his speech and he said, the ultimate aim of society should be to make sure that people are not targeted, not harassed, and not murdered because of who they are, where they come from, who they love, and how they pray. If we make that our aim, if we prioritize truth over lies, tolerance over prejudice, empathy over indifference, and experts over ignoramuses, then maybe, just maybe, we can stop the greatest propaganda machine in history, we can save democracy, we can still have a place for free speech and free expression, and most importantly, my jokes will still work.
I saw that when he said that. It was really funny. Yeah. He made a pretty great comparison somewhere. I don't know if it was in the speech or somewhere on social media, that if you're a private company and you, for example, have a restaurant and you have people coming into your restaurant being dicks to everyone and being assholes, you throw them out because you own the place, and then you throw them out. You don't leave them, keep them sitting here and make everybody else feel uncomfortable. And I really, really like that comparison because it's like, yeah, whatever, Zuckerberg, you can't. There needs to be some guidelines. I know it's difficult that he is not only a U.S. company, right? Like, he's not only in the U.S. He's not only... Facebook is available everywhere. So there are different laws in every country. And I get that he can't make a claim for or against something specific. But especially when there's already lies and everything that get spread through ads even.
And the fact that they know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
It's just something where I'm like, yeah, but dude, come on. It's I can't cover everything under the mantle of one, free speech, and B, privacy is whatever. He doesn't give a shit about privacy. I think it's just important to, have a conscience.
But we're the radical thinkers, Monica. Gosh.
You know who's a radical thinker?
I do know who's a radical thinker. A 14-year-old genius called Elena Gassler.
But why?
Because she solved the problem of the blind spot in a car.
Which is pretty fucking amazing and impressive that nobody ever thought of that before.
Yeah, or maybe they just didn't make it as much of a priority. I don't know.
Which is weird considering, I guess, that specific blind spots when driving must cause for so many accidents.
Yeah, to be honest, like, that blind spot never super bothers me. It's the one that's just kind of behind the passenger door where a car sits, like, in your blind spot. That one bothers me more than the blind spot that she saw. But I think it's awesome what she's done.
I think I had that more than once, that I met someone came out of that specific... Because what she made is where the windshield is, then you have those two... on the left and right of the car, these two barriers basically that keep you from seeing stuff for about 15 centimeters, let's say.
Yeah. And she's developed a way to attach a camera to the outside of that spot and project the image onto the inside of that spot. So it basically is seamless. It looks like you're looking through the the solid wall or the solid part of the car. So it's really cool. There's a couple of videos that we'll link in the show notes on Gizmodo that show cars driving next to the car with the camera. And they just like, you can just see them. It's like they're passing through.
Yeah. It looks like a weird hologram.
It does. Sick.
Yeah. And pillar is the word that I was looking for, but couldn't think of. But sure. Yeah. And she's only freaking 14.
I know. She's from West Grove, Pennsylvania. So she's American genius, basically.
I'm excited when that happens.
So Elena Gassler actually won $25,000 for winning this. It was called the Society for Science and the Public's Broadcom Masters Science and Engineering Competition.
Oh, wow. Complicated.
Yeah. So, like, let's talk about it. It's basically a next level science fair.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 14, okay, well, let's take it back. When I was 12, my science fair project, it was, will plants die if they eat or drink sugar water instead of regular water? Spoiler alert, yes, they will.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
But that was my science project. And she's like fucking solving an actual problem that's going to solve problems. And I'm like, plants die when they eat sugar.
I mean, good to know. But also, we didn't even have science projects.
No?
No. So we did never invent anything amazing, which is, or even, we didn't even have the thought process to do something like this.
Hmm.
Kind of sad.
Yeah.
Who knows all the great ideas that got lost because we never had that.
That's true. I did get second place at like one at my school and then had to go to like a bigger competition. I got second place.
Wow.
I'm not bragging or anything.
I'm just not bragging. Hashtag not bragging.
total casual brag. But like, and that was in Pennsylvania. So basically, like, if I was actually smarter and good at science, maybe I could have solved this problem. As it is, just want to say super big congrats to Gassler because she's awesome. And
well done, you.
Yeah, we're going to see some cool things coming out of this girl.
The future will be bright, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of a bright future, Microsoft is bringing a trans lead character to a major video game.
I'm a bit speechless, to be honest, that it's coming from Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from a French studio. Don't nod. What a funny name.
Yeah.
And the video game is called Tell Me Why. And it's a narrative adventure. And it stars a trans man.
Yeah. It stars identical twins, Allison and Tyler Ronan, that grew up in a small community in Alaska and are reunited. And basically you're trying to experience the stories that they've experienced through the years and solve the mystery, basically, I think. Because, their twins are connected by a strong supernatural bond, which allows them to share their thoughts and feelings.
Ooh.
And past memories. And they like experience things differently. So you get to kind of go through their lives. And the game director, Florent Guillaume, she says that the character Tyler wasn't always going to be a trans man, but they wanted the characters who were born identical to have lived very different lives. So then they started to explore that idea and they like reached out to GLAAD and had like a trans representative from GLAAD working closely with them. They had transgender people play the game and to see it for like its sensitivity and how it actually is. Like they put a lot of effort and thought and everything into creating a character that will be awesome, basically.
Will be just a great representation.
Yeah.
And not just a fake one that's like just spread, like sprinkled in for good people points.
Yeah. The director of transgender representation at GLAAD said that Tyler is a fully realized, endearing character whose story is not reduced to simplistic trans tropes. And creating a playable lead trans character and taking such care to get it right raises the bar for future LGBTQ inclusion in gaming.
Mm. It kind of reminds me a bit of Beyond Two Souls. I mean, even though that's not technically, but also with the supernatural aspect and being connected via the mind, I think. What kind of game is it? A narrative
a narrative game. It looks like a kind of supernatural narrative game where you need to figure out what drove the characters from each other and investigate their shared memories while exploring the town and talking to local inhabitants. So I think that there might be some kind of mystery and some supernatural stuff and basically just a really strong story-driven game, which I am here for because story-driven games are my favorite. So definitely will be checking this one out and putting it on the watch list for me.
When it comes to other devices in the Xbox.
Yeah, well, they say at the bottom of this article from The Guardian that it's going to be releasing on Xbox
and PC.
Three separate downloadable chapters on Xbox and PC from spring 2020. So we don't have too long to wait for it.
You people don't have too long to wait for it. I do.
Oh, yeah, you do. Because you have neither of those.
I have neither of those. Did you just say fucka?
No, I said sucka.
Almost the same. Fucka. Yeah, I'm curious. You get it, then you tell me if it's great, and then I'm going to get it too, eventually. Sounds if it good. Comes out, yeah. Because hopefully it will.
You can just come over and play it at my house.
Deal.
Deal. Okay.
But the best part of all of it also comes from an Xbox game, isn't it? Wasn't it? Not only.
I don't think it's the next game is only Xbox.
No, it's also on PlayStation, available on PlayStation. But what we're talking about is Hellblade. Have you heard of Hellblade?
I have. I have it, actually.
You have it?
Yeah, but we're not actually talking about Hellblade, but we're talking about the developer that released Hellblade. So, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice was a game that released 2 years ago in 2017 by Ninja Theory, and the main character has psychosis, and the whole game is basically you trying to, you playing this character, and you're not sure what's real and what's not real, and it's been a really realistic representation of what it's like living with this kind of mental illness.
Because they also had a lot of people in there who suffer from psychosis, and like really like hardcore proper research on the mental health aspect of the entire game, so that it got super high praise because it's so real and it helps people who suffer under these conditions display to family and friends often what it's like for them, because that game is so intense and so real.
Yeah,
which I also find already amazingly, like, so impressive.
I know, I've got it. I really want to play it. I just have not sunk the time into it yet. But Ninja Theory have released or are working on a new game called The Insight Project, and it is specifically going to be about mental health and to talk about it and to represent it. I guess their success with Hellblade has made something just, I don't know.
I've watched the trailer of that Inside Project, and basically what they're working together with a neuroscientist who's also a psychiatrist, and they try to figure out a way on how to actually deal with mental health problems through the video game.
Yeah, I do think that video games are going to help society deal with and understand mental health issues and symptoms better than like a lot of other platforms, because it's something that, because you can actually play it, it's like you're experiencing it kind of, which will hopefully bring a lot more understanding for people who don't have mental health problems. And it will also give like that representation and like, oh, other people have this, to people that do have mental health problems.
Yeah, 100%.
I know there's a charity in Canada as well that's working on a game. Three Extra Lives talked about it in one of their earlier episodes. I can't remember the name of the game. So Tom, when you listen to this, let us know what the name of that game is. Because it's definitely, there's definitely a culture shift to having and focusing on mental health through video games.
Mm. In their case, they're not only focusing on it like they did with Hellblade, they especially try to create games that can then help, for example, people with anxiety to reduce all the symptoms that they're having when they have an anxiety attack. Because as a neuroscientist, he knows exactly what's going on, and as a psychiatrist, he also knows all the symptoms. So working together with that gaming company, and that Paul Fletcher is a professor at Cambridge University, and he already worked with them for Hellblade, and now they're going that step further to create an actual video game who can help you deal with your mental health issues. Not even only experience them through the game, like it did with Hellblade, but
to work through it, yeah, almost like therapy.
Yeah,
not therapy.
He says, yeah, the aim of this is not to throw out the old therapies or to supersede them. There is a good toolbox of psychological and psychiatric therapies that can be used. But we think that combining the science, the clinic, the clinical work, and the talents of the gaming technology could actually produce some synergy and allow some of the of those therapeutic approaches to be used in very innovative and possibly more effective ways. Which is so sick.
It's awesome. Like, it's so good. Yeah, I think that more companies should use video games as like a platform for mental health therapy and not therapy and representation and just awareness.
Yeah, I think especially for, I mean, probably for a lot of different, very different kinds of people, not only introverts, but I think video games often have this flair or people presume them as something that will worsen your mental health situation when you play them too much. Whereas I think if you see the possibility in them all, then it's just a really big and great tool that you can use to create something amazing.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And especially, like, I think that a lot of game developers have their own mental health problems. So for them to be able to explore them in a way that also is allowing them to share their experiences, mm-hmm, with others, I would say that's really helpful and beneficial for game developers. And when they get feedback from people being like, this helped me, I didn't think there was anybody else like this, and here I am, like, I feel represented, mm-hmm, like that's gonna make those game developers feel really connected and seen as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm here for it.
I'm definitely here for it. And I need to play Hellblade.
And you definitely... I watched the clips. It looks horrifying. Like, so terrifying. I think you have to have a strong mind and strong perception of life to get through that game. It can't be scared easily.
Yeah, so Tom shouldn't watch it or play it.
I guess.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. Maybe I'll stream it. So, like, in February.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. That was our last story. If you have any Geek Girl in the News stories, let us know on social media, or you can join us over on Discord at geekcaring.com/Discord. And we would love to hear what you want us to talk about.
Amazing. So have a great rest of your week, a great weekend, and see you again next week
for another really cool episode of Geek Caring.
For the best episode.
Oh, yeah. The best.
The okay. Next one is always the best.
It's always the best. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Caring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Caring and over on geekcaring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at DragonPoweredStudio.com.